Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline. With the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget, act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Oh, boy, we made it, people. We made it. It's the end of the week. It's a football Friday. And the best hour of your day is now officially underway. Donnie Wrightside, it's Moneyline, it's the Sports Grid Network, it's SiriusXM Channel 159, and it is AFC, NFC Championship Weekend. Sunday, two games for the right to go to the Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders, followed by the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. Weather conditions, not worried about it. Health conditions, we'll take a deeper dive into that over the next hour. And also, I did place four wagers so far for Sunday's NFL action. We'll go over each one of those wagers and why I like them today on the show, which ways we're looking forward to bet this weekend, updates on the lines, updates on the totals, updates on the prop bets, updates on the health. This is what we do at the Sports Grid Network, and I'm ready to carry that through. I'm excited. It's a solo show. Thanks for joining me today. If you are watching on any of the multiple ways you can on the Sports Grid app, if you haven't downloaded it yet, what are you waiting for? Everywhere that apps are available, you can download it. If you're listening on sportsgridradio.com, fantastic. If you're listening right now to satellite radio, SiriusXM Channel 159, fantastic. Or if you're watching on YouTube with Restream on our Sports Grid On Demand YouTube channel, the best way to catch the radio programming where you can actually reach out to the host, reach out as a guest, have some fun, relax, and share your information, you can do that as well. But I'm excited for this weekend, can you tell? Because yes, as a fan, sometimes you just have to sit back to yourself and say, this usually doesn't, unless you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan, it doesn't come around all that often. Like my Eagles fandom, which I would say really cranked up in the mid to late 1980s. Early on, you know, hey, Miami Dolphins fan, loved Dan Marino, wore 13 my entire football career. But I sort of was a self-taught Eagles fan. Like my dad liked the Eagles, but not enough to be a rabid Eagles fan. Stepfather liked the Eagles, not enough to be a rabid Eagles fan. I sort of made that conversion the Buddy Ryan era, particularly in the late 1980s and early 1990s. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles throughout their history haven't won a lot of championships. Won a couple back in the day. What was it? 40, I can't remember the old ones. 1960, one in 1947, in that range. So there wasn't too many back then, but Super Bowls obviously only won. And that was Super Bowl 52. But I always say, like, the People's Championship is the AFC-NFC Championship game. And I've always told these stories all throughout. You know, I joke about the greatest day of my life, even with getting married and having a kid, was the Eagles finally winning Super Bowl 52. It's a great day in my life. And my sort of my sports fandom still hinges on that, where the Eagles do take losses, but I don't get nearly as upset because I got the one thing I was waiting for my entire life. So I'm no longer a jaded sports fan. Do I get upset? Yes, I do. But I saw the only thing that I was waiting for to see for the rest of my life was the Eagles to actually win a Lombardi. And they did that. But I have to tell you, there's been some pretty dark days. I remember in 1987, being a 10-year-old, crying myself to sleep when the Philadelphia Flyers lost Game 7 to the Edmonton Oilers in Edmonton. And it was a long time in my life, the Flyers were more important to me than the Philadelphia Eagles, if you can believe that. Back in the 1980s, that was the case. But when we're talking about those bad losses, which again, you would go through to the 1993 Philadelphia Phillies, getting the heartbreak going up against the Toronto Blue Jays and the Joe Carter home run, we've lived through all of those.
But if I had a singular moment in my sports fandom that still to this day I can't shake, but I always go back and remember those moments, where I was in the 700 level in January of 2003 for the 2002 NFC Championship game, the Philadelphia Eagles versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I'll remember that feeling of being on a freezing cold day in that upper deck. Jessica Simpson sang the national anthem. But I always remember this. One of the billboards at the top of the stadium, which, you know, used to be Marlboro cigarettes and liquor, whatever it might be, it was a bank. And I believe it might have been Citizens Bank back then. And it said, from here, I can see San Diego, or you can see San Diego, which was a great play on words because it was at the top of the stadium. The Super Bowl was in San Diego. The Eagles were favorites to win it. It was all shaping up perfectly. So I bought tickets at the game. It was before I was a season ticket holder. I said I had to be there to witness that environment. The last game in veteran stadium history against a team that the Eagles, for years, absolutely pulverized. Regular season, playoffs, it didn't matter. Tampa Bay couldn't win in the cold weather. They couldn't win on the road in the playoffs. And the Eagles had them at dead to rights with Andy Reid, Donovan McNabb, Deuce Staley, a big-time offensive line, and a dominating defense with the best secondary in football. And I had the best 1 minute of my life in that stadium. From the opening kickoff, which was an unbelievable kick return that we had in that football game to get it started. You go all the way down the field and say to yourself, Brian Mitchell, thank you for that return. Two plays later, Deuce Staley was in the end zone to give the Eagles a 7-0 lead in the NFC Championship game. I don't know how Veterans Stadium, it got imploded a couple years ago, but my God, if it would have fell down that day with the wave of sound that was coming out of the seats that day and the jumping up and down, I don't know how the vet lived through that day. But as I said that, that was one of the best moments in my life. The remaining parts of those 59 minutes, I left that stadium like an absolute zombie. It ruined my next couple weeks at work, my personal life, and my fandom. When the Tampa Bay Buccaneers took on the Los Angeles Raiders in that Super Bowl, it was hard to get me in front of that TV because the pain was still there. But I was still young in my family, you know, early 20s. You live and die on a football team. And granted, as you get older, your obviously perspectives do change. But the reason I bring it up is this weekend is so big. And if anybody's out there that's listening that has been to an either, whether your favorite team's in the AFC or the NFC, being able to host that championship game and how exciting it is to be in that stadium that day. And if your team does win it here, it feels like, yes, the Super Bowl is the ultimate prize. But being with 75,000 to 80,000 of your closest friends in that type of environment, you will remember and cherish those moments for a long time. And the reason I bring that up is the Eagles lost in 2001 to the Rams on the road. They weren't ready to win. They were 50-some yards away from a Super Bowl appearance, which would have been against Tom Brady. But we lost. And I say we because I'm a fan of the Eagles, the Marshall Faulk and the greatest show on turf. The following year, which was the Philadelphia Eagles and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they lost. Then in 2003, I sat in the stands again at Lincoln Financial Field its first season, only to watch the Philadelphia Eagles lose once again to the Carolina Panthers and Jake Delhomme, the Ricky Manning game, and, you know, was it Deshaun Foster as a running back? Just disgraceful loss by the Eagles. Now, granted, they probably shouldn't even have made it that far that season with all the injuries they had, but they didn't lose. And then came 2004 with the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles, Mike Vick, you know, TJ Duckett coming to town. Who else was on that football team? Warwick Dunn was another running back. D'Angelo Hall's a DB. Jim Mora Jr. is a young high school coach, a young head coach in the NFL. And the Philadelphia Eagles were able to win. And I remember we rented a Winnebago for that game, slept in it the night before, got to the parking lot at 6 a.m. the next day just to make sure we were in there. But I can still remember this day, that moment, knowing the Philadelphia Eagles were going to the Super Bowl, which is something I hadn't seen, and I wasn't around in 1980 when the Eagles hosted the NFC Championship game where I was 3 years old, but not watching the game, obviously, or caring. And the Eagles went to that Super Bowl. I remember the jubilation of leaving that stadium, understanding that the Eagles were now going to be in the Super Bowl and how great that was. I just hope the people around there, like if you're watching today and maybe you are a Buffalo Bills fan, you got a chance to get there. Maybe if you are a Commanders fan, who those teams haven't seen the Super Bowl in eons at this point, or even a chance to win it, how meaningful it is for this weekend's games, for the fandom out there. It feels like, once again, it's once in a lifetime. I'm 47. And I'm going to tell you, on Sunday, I'm going to feel like I'm back to 13-year-old DRS watching Buddy Ryan and the Eagles, just hoping for a chance at the Super Bowl. Love this time of year. We got a lot longer to go here. Moneyline, stick with me.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it, people. Look, getting the fandom out of the way, having some fun, getting after it, cheering on game Sunday, betting them. We only have three NFL games left in the season. AFC Championship game, NFC Championship game, and the Super Bowl from New Orleans. And your boys, me, K-Dub, Joe Lisi, boots on the ground in New Orleans. It'll help me a little bit more if the Eagles are in the Super Bowl as opposed to losing the NFC Championship game. But we'll find out in just a few hours, it feels like, as, well, I wish I could just fast forward through Friday, fast forward through Saturday. I'm excited about Pro Football Today, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Or 9 a.m. No, yeah, it is 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. on Sunday, getting you ready for those games. Probably going to run a replay right up to game time here, but your boy will be in front of his TV at home, getting after it, cheering, and having the utmost fun. But let's get through the hot topics here, because it's up to me today as a solo mission to get you guys ready for those two games on Sunday. That we're going to take a look at both of those games with a couple bets that I've already placed here, and looking forward to those final released. Who practiced today? Who didn't practice today? Who's probable for Sunday, who's doubtful, who's questionable, and how that plays into it. Because there are a number of injuries that we're keeping ourselves an eye on, particularly from the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Commanders' direction here. But we did have big news starting yesterday into late last night and then into this morning, which I love because it always helps out programming just like this, where it's like, you know what? Anticipated talking about a certain topic, then you have to change it back and forth. Head coaches in the NFL, big news. We'll start here in Jacksonville. Liam Cohen, offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, went to interview for the job in Jacksonville, pulled his name out, and looked like he was going to sign back with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to be the highest paid coordinator in the NFL. And that was a big win for the Tampa Bay franchise, keeping some continuity, which worked out fantastically last year for the Buccaneers. They lost Dave Canales the year before to be the head coach of the Carolina Panthers. Liam Cohen takes over. They have a great year on offense, and it looks like you are probably going to lose him as well. But he declined that job opportunity because he probably wasn't happy with the structure of that franchise. Case in point, Trent Baalke being the general manager, which a lot of people around the league look at as being a weak link on that team and why you would actually want to be a head coach there. Liam Cohen goes back, renegotiates a contract here with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but doesn't sign it over the past 24 hours. Stays away from the facility. Why? Because Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, picked up that phone, called Liam Cohen and or his agent and said, what's it going to take for him to be my head coach? And it looks like what all it took was, fire Trent Baalke, give me a lot of money, I will be your head coach. Case in point this morning, the Jacksonville Jaguars have their new coach, it's Liam Cohen. It just goes to show you in the NFL, it is about working environment. These guys, their dream of their entire coaching lives is to be an NFL head coach. Number one, the cachet it gets. Number two, the money you make. And number three, you're at the pinnacle of your profession, an NFL head coach. And if you feel that you can do the job, you're going to make a lot of money and you can possibly win championships. He goes to the Jacksonville franchise, which is really good talent-wise, which is really bad front office-wise and production-wise, including wins. I love this move for Liam Cohen. I think it makes a ton of sense. You're going to get Trevor Lawrence, a quarterback you can mold by yourself. You got two capable running backs. You got a decent offensive line, one of the best young wide receivers in football in Brian Thomas Jr., and a defensive line that can get after it. You have the semblance of a good football team, but more importantly, a division that you can be competitive in right away. So Liam Cohen, love that move, goes to the Jaguars, should have shuns Tampa Bay. There can't be anybody in Tampa. Oh, it's a shame he ghosted us. You can't. No, stop it, man. From being an offensive coordinator to a National Football League head coach, there's no comparison here. He made the right move for himself, his family, and also picked a pretty good landing spot. If you're living under a rock, not paying attention, maybe you're just coming out of a meeting right now, big news shaking the NFL, which came from Las Vegas. Las Vegas Raiders have a new head coach. It's Pete Carroll. 73-year-old Pete Carroll recently let go within the past, 16 months or so from the Seattle Seahawks. He now is going to coach for Tom Brady, Mr. Davis, not Al Davis, Mark Davis, and he's going to take control. And some people might look at that and say, well, that's an interesting hire, because it is. But understand this. I like the clown coaching hires a lot. Matt Eberflus to Chicago, stupid. You know, Raheem Morris, as I talked about this morning, wasn't happy with the hire, which he's now in Atlanta, didn't work out in his favor, thought it needed to be an offensive guy. But there are times that you look at hires like Joe Judge. We all laughed at that for the New York Giants. Horrendous hire. Some things just don't make sense in the places they put them. Tony Sparano with the Dolphins. Who was there, by the way? JP's probably out there listening. JP Pensil. Now, by the way, JP, good. You could do this for me. Who was the coach of the San Francisco 49ers? Jim Tomsula. Got it right off the bat. Look at that. The mind's working today. We're excited. Like Jim Tomsula for San Francisco. Or when the Eagles fired Chip Kelly, the San Francisco 49ers again just decided to pick up Chip Kelly off the scrap. You're like, well, I don't know if that's going to work at this point right now. And they did. There's some coaching jobs that we widely pan and say, these don't make sense. This makes sense out in Vegas for the simple reason is that team, no matter what they do this offseason or next offseason, are not going to be competing for an NFL championship. Heck, they might not even be competing to be 500 or make the playoffs. You are in maybe the toughest division you could possibly be in, whether it be quarterback-wise or coaching-wise. The Kansas City Chiefs are in your division. That's Andy Reid. That's Patrick Mahomes. The Los Angeles Chargers are in your division. That's Jim Harbaugh, along with Justin Herbert. Now you have the upstart Denver Broncos, who made the playoffs last year, with Bo Nix as a rookie and Sean Payton as a head coach. You need stability in that Raiders franchise, and you need the direction, which is something you didn't have. Bad head coaching hires after bad head coaching hires, masking them with guys who will rally the locker room like Antonio Pierce, that doesn't win long term. So now you have a coach that's aging. And I don't think, as I said this, I said, well, Don, how could you like the coaching hire but figure they're not going to even be a player in the NFL for the next 2 to 3 seasons? It's about stability. It's about waiting out franchises. It's about putting the foundation in correctly so when the next coach comes in, he can win. I say, look, well, that doesn't make any sense. Yes, it does. Like, the Raiders weren't always going for Pete Carroll. They wanted Ben Johnson. They thought they had a good chance at Ben Johnson. They didn't get him. So the next best option was, are we just going to go with another young coordinator, hope it works? Or do we go with Pete Carroll, who's been there, done that, understands that he is a player's coach and sets this team up favorably over the next couple years? It's Moneyline, big doings here this Friday on a Football Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cherish these days, people, because we don't have too many of them left. We have Sunday NFL football, and then in 2 weeks, Sunday NFL football, and then you're into the dark. Cataclysmic NCAA season, NBA season. Then you start to come out of that shell with Major League Baseball. Then it gets warmer and you're at the beach, down the shore, at the lake house, fishing, barbecuing, having fun before we start that NFL season and NCAA season in August. So we got to enjoy these days. We got to handicap them correctly. Hopefully we make some money. But understand, usually the later you get in the season, the better the games get. The more high stakes the games are. Can't get two more high stakes than the AFC-NFC championship game, and that's what we have. So let's start here again, as we've been doing all week long, updating weather conditions and line movement between both of these games. 3 o'clock p.m., 6:30 p.m. Two stadiums that are outdoors, so you figure you're going to get some of the elements in here. And technically we are, because we're in the dead heat of winter. You're going to get winter weather. 38 degrees at the opening kickoff anticipated for Commanders and Eagles. No precipitation in the forecast. Winds have increased a little bit from that 8 to 9 miles per hour up to around 12 miles per hour. But also understand this, decreasing as the afternoon goes on. Estimated wind speeds to start the game around 12 miles an hour. By the time we get to the fourth quarter, 7 to 8 miles per hour. So that is going to help. Flip it over to the AFC Championship game and looking at those weather conditions there. All week long, been about the same. cold conditions, but not too cold where it's like, oh my goodness, we can't function out here, that we've seen a couple times from Kansas City. 31-degree temperatures to kick off by the time we get to the fourth quarter in the high 20s. Cold weather, yes. But again, just like in Philadelphia, Kansas City, no precipitation is in the forecast. That's great. Conditions for wind, there aren't really any. They were 2.5 to 3 earlier in the week here. Now they're around 4.5 miles per hour to 5 miles per hour. Insignificant here. So two handicaps that you look at, you're not worrying about, is weather going to be the first and foremost handicap of what you think is going to happen. Looks like pretty clear days. If we're looking at betting tickets on both sides here, spread counts, I have the Philadelphia Eagles only getting 32% of the action versus Washington, which in turn, Washington is getting 68% of those tickets. We look at the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs getting around 20% of the ticket count. The Buffalo Bills getting around 8, which again, put it in layman's terms, 8 out of every tickets written for this game are being bet against the spread for the Buffalo Bills. Now let's take a look at how the line has been moving all week long. And the opening line, FanDuel Sportsbook for the Eagles game, was at 4.5. That line today at the FanDuel Sportsbook, 6.5. So you're telling me roughly 7 out of every 10 tickets coming in on the Washington Commanders against the spread, that line has moved two full points in the other direction. That certainly is interesting. The total itself in Philadelphia opened up at 47.5 and still sits today at 47.5. The Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs, as I just told you, roughly 8 out of every 10 tickets written right now are going towards the Buffalo Bills. That line opened up at -1.5. And just about every outlet still sits at -1.5 with even BetMGM. And it looks like the Westgate out in Las Vegas are showing -2s towards the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, we did have some movement from yesterday to today with the total in that football game. 47.5 were the opening number. And within the past 24 hours or so, we now see a shift to 48.5 across the board. That's interesting, right? Where you're expecting points in both of these games, but the only line that moved in the direction of points was Buffalo and Kansas City. So now we take a look at what are we thinking about when you're shooting options. The Buffalo Bills have a couple players banged up on defense. Taylor Rapp is one of those guys you're going to look at. Same thing with Matt Milano, that chest / shoulder, and now a little bit of a rough hamstring. But Kansas City looks like they're going to be basically completely healthy for this game. And I said the questions more came up in Washington and Philadelphia, as opposed to Buffalo and Kansas City. Jaden Daniels, he looks 100% to go. Jalen Hurts, not necessarily. But good news for the Eagles, when he hurt that knee last Sunday, it was like, ooh, can he even play the rest of the game? He did have a full practice yesterday on a Thursday, and we'll check again to see how he's going to be on a Friday. Dallas Goedert with an ankle injury has not practiced the past 2 days for the Philadelphia Eagles, their number one tight end. Cam Jurgens missed practice the past 2 days, and it's listed as a back injury. Is it spasms? Is it uncomfortable? Is it a slip disc? We don't know. But both of those players did finish the game last week against the Los Angeles Rams. We'll know a lot more today once those practice reports come out, and also the coaches will be made available to the public. For you talking about the Washington Commanders side, they're already down Sam Cosmi, probably the best offensive lineman, who tore his ACL, but also Bobby Wagner with that ankle injury. That's a key component. Let's start breaking down and handicapping both of these games next, right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's get after it here. Philadelphia Eagles, Washington Commanders. As we just told you, that line 4.5 up to 6.5 at FanDuel. 6 is probably the prevailing line. DraftKings, BetMGM, Bet365, 6.5 there out in Vegas at the Westgate. 47.5 the prevailing total in this game. Weather conditions, as we just pointed out, they're going to be fine for Sunday. No snow globe game that we just saw between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Los Angeles Rams. So let's start here in this game. And we'll go over some of the props. I usually just, again, on a Friday show, easy just to pick one book, which is FanDuel. You can rip around, you can have some fun. I do have obviously other outlets there that I look to sort of mirror off of and get the best possible pricing. And as I told you, I already did bet four sides, props, for this weekend's games. And we'll include those and go as we go along. Am I looking for that? I'm not really a side player. You guys know that. Do I think the Eagles win the football game here? Yes, I do. The Eagles are the number one defense in the NFL by a wide margin. The Eagles are at home. When Jalen Hurts starts a game and finishes it, the Eagles lost one time this year. And that was because Saquon Barkley dropped an out route that Jalen placed right in his breadbasket. So that's the way it is. Actually, excuse me. Two total losses because he didn't have anybody lining up with him in that Tampa game. So two total losses on the season. But let's get down to the crux of the argument here. If you're optimistic looking at this game for the Eagles, what do you think needs to go right for them to win this game? Jalen Hurts being a functional quarterback in the pocket. That's been what I've been saying all week long. Full practice yesterday on a Thursday. You anticipate he'll probably do the same today. Or if they just back off, he gets a limited work in here. But understanding that the playbook has been installed and he should be fine. Here's one of the bets that I made this morning when the outlets, particularly the FanDuel Sportsbook, were allowing these wagers. And that's a first quarter rushing prop. Has nothing really to do with, let's just say, the game itself. Because Jalen Hurts' rushing prop is around 31.5 yards. But I think this one makes sense for more than enough levels. Because so many times that you're looking at bets that you make, it's not talking yourself into what you like. It's what is that game script you think that is going to be? And trying to bet with that knowledge against what you think is in the best advantage and or play structure for that team you're betting. Jalen Hurts bet for me, first one here today, over 4.5 rushing yards in the first quarter. It's a minus 125 price at the FanDuel Sportsbook. To say, okay, Donnie, that's interesting because we don't really know what we're getting out of Jalen Hurts on Sunday. I would agree with you to a certain degree. He is getting the practice in, but understand this. He's not going to be 100% Jalen Hurts by the time we get to Sunday, and we know that. But if you are a coach and a coaching staff, and I want to date it back to, I can't remember what game. I want to say sometime around maybe, could have been earlier, Ben Roethlisberger. And I want to get that date correct here. Let's go Broncos versus Steelers playoffs. Was it 2001? I don't think it was 2001. That was the Tim Tebow game. So I don't think that's the game I'm talking about here. 29-23, where Tebow hit that pass to Demaryius Thomas. There's another game. What was it? It's a playoff. That says 2001. Playoff stats. What's your stats? Come on, people. All right. Let me just get this down here. So still comes up 02, 2012. Pittsburgh Steelers football database. How about we go with that? All right. Let's see. Was it the 24-17 game? No, there we go. 2016. Denver Broncos 23, Pittsburgh Steelers 16. I believe that was the game. Was that one? Yes. They meet again in the playoffs before 29-20. Yeah, perfect. That was it. So January of 2016, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Denver Broncos played in Denver for the AFC Championship. And in that game, or maybe was it the week before? I know it just has an asterisk up there. So we'll call it. I want to say it was the AFC Championship game, to be honest. Or no, it couldn't have been then, right? Because if they won that game, I don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers went to the Super Bowl in 2016. So it was a division. It was a divisional round game that the Broncos had played the Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger had an issue with his throwing shoulder. That week, Ben Roethlisberger did not throw passes while the press was able to watch at practice. So word got out that, boy, this could be a real big issue, and he might not play this weekend. Fast forward to game day, where Ben Roethlisberger did not come out to warm up with the team, which is crazy talk. So when you go to the stadium early, and hours on that clock, both offenses, defenses, special teams on both sides are working out, kickers, everything. For the quarterback not to be out there and throwing passes before a playoff game is like, how could he play and can he even throw the ball? Are they going to run a wishbone type of attack? To the very first play of the game, Ben Roethlisberger uncorked a 60-plus yard airmail pass that was incomplete. But the message was, if you think my arm strength isn't there today, oh, yes, it is. Now, for the rest of the day, you must respect it because I just showed you I can throw the ball deep. That's why we bring up Jalen Hurts in this football game. The healthiest Jalen Hurts is going to be in this game is going to be on the first drive that the Eagles have the football, or the second drive that the Eagles have the football. But also understand this. 31.5 about is his rushing prop for the game. If he's healthy, he'll get that. But that's the question mark. But when you want to set the tone for a football game that says, when I'm in shotgun, Saquon Barkley is standing next to me, that Jalen Hurts, when he puts that football into the stomach of Saquon Barkley, there's the ability to pull that football and run. Because if you are not a running threat, the defensive end doesn't play his tendencies, doesn't play his keys, which means I got to make sure that I have the outside where if that ball does not get handed off, I have the quarterback. And when the quarterback is not a threat to run, that defensive end doesn't worry about his keys or his tendencies and just collapses down and continuously tackles the running back. So for me, the Philadelphia Eagles, as important as it sounds, they're going to have to run Jalen Hurts in that first quarter, even if he's not all the way healthy, to make sure you show the Washington Commanders the ability to run. So you must respect the RPO game and a chance that Jalen Hurts will keep the football. One carry, 5 yards in the first quarter is going to cash that ticket. I think it makes a lot of sense. All right, back to the game script itself. If we are thinking that the Eagles, the way they're going to operate, is Saquon Barkley. Can't disagree. His prop bet carries 24.5, like we're going back to the early 1990s with Emmitt Smith and the Dallas Cowboys. His rushing prop is 125.5, astoundingly high. But again, we've asked this question all week. Are you out here looking at that 125.5 and like, hey, he's going nowhere near that. I'm betting the under. And then realizing he's like a carry away once he hits 70 yards to busting through 125. That's tough to ask for. And I usually don't like to bet the high ends of the market like that. But understand this as well. If you are looking at the wide receiver position for the Eagles, volume will be interesting because the Eagles have shown you in the playoffs, we're going to run this football until you can stop it. But understanding game script as well, Dan Quinn is a very good defensive coordinator. He is not going to bring seven into the box and say, you can run it as much as you can. We're just going to play two high safeties and we're not going to worry about anything. So when I look at A.J. Brown coming into this game, going up against a secondary that can be had, one of the other bets that I made, 4.5 catches to the over at a plus 100 price. So 5 catches for A.J. Brown. In my pick 6 that we did today, on the early line, one of those bets I made there, I haven't bet it yet myself. I'm always honest with that. I'll show you the tickets. I put them out all the time. But the chance for the Eagles wide receivers to get big catches downfield is live in this football game. Because if Jalen Hurts can operate from the pocket, you're not worried about a snow globe game, that defense for the Washington Commanders can be gotten after, particularly in that secondary. So for Devontae Smith to catch a 30-yard pass or more, which he's done 4 times this year, that's a plus 280 price. It's a pretty good payday. More NFL championship talk next, right here on SportsGrid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Another bet I made here in the Philadelphia Eagles game, Jalen Hurts over 179.5. It's Justin Fields-type numbers. If he gets injured and can't play in this football game, so be it. But if he's practicing in full, him getting to around 200 yards, I feel like that's a steal. So two bets, or actually 3 bets that I have right now on the Eagles game, not on a side or a total. Hurts over 179.5 passing yards, A.J. Brown over 4.5 catches, and Jalen Hurts over 4.5 rushing yards. If we're looking at the Commanders' side, what is their plan to victory? Because we were talking on the early line. I really do believe, and let's be honest, when you are looking at the statistics in this game between both defenses, Pro Football Focus, Eagles, number one by a bullet, by a long distance over the Chiefs. They're number one, the best cover secondary in this sport, and it's not even close. You scroll down to Washington, 29th ranked overall defense. going up against this Eagles offense. It's a major advantage. It's not even close. The Eagles are so much better on defense than the Washington Commanders, and that's going to play into it. That's why that spread is close to a touchdown. The Eagles are home. They're favored. They're supposed to be. But how does this sort of flip over where you can bet the Washington Commanders? Correlations always matter because you take a look at the quarterback and say, well, if Jaden Daniels doesn't go over 223.5, how can they win? Technically, I would agree. Threw for almost 300 yards against the Detroit Lions. And if the Lions actually had any oomph in that fourth quarter, he would have probably thrown for 325 or 350 against that awful, awful Detroit defense. It's not the case against the Eagles. Passing touchdowns in this game for Jaden Daniels, over 1.5 plus 130. I don't mind that bet because I think the Washington Commanders will be losing for the majority of this game, or at least chasing down the Philadelphia Eagles. But from a rushing prop perspective, we talked about Barkley, 125.5. Brian Robinson Jr. at 37.5. Is there a way they can win this football game if they don't? And I don't mean control the ground game. Like, Brian Robinson Jr. is going to outrush Saquon Barkley. But a direct correlation for me is if things are going well for Washington, they're running the football well. I really like Brian Robinson Jr. over 37.5 rush yards. Haven't bet it yet, but that's certainly in one of my scribble down motions here. Austin Eckler, you know I love me some Austin Eckler as a pass catcher out of the backfield. Those are the target prices that I want. Do I want to go with, you know, hey, let's look at the wide receiver position? Not necessarily. Why would you go after the wide receiver position when you have the absolute most lockdown secondary in football on the other side? Look, I like Terry McLaurin. I don't like him against the Eagles secondary. Deami Brown, he can make plays. I don't like him against the Eagles secondary. I think the chance where you have success for Washington to keep yourself in this football game, and if things are going well, it's Brian Robinson Jr. on the ground and Austin Eckler in the air. That's my feeling on that. I'm going to be excited to watch that game. We're going to be in there, excited, and I hope the Eagles win. But that's the action where I'm going for so far. Now, let's get to the AFC Championship game, 6:30 p.m. on Sunday night. -1.5 spread, the prevailing number as a favorite towards the Chiefs. Total jumps up, as we talked about, 47.5 to 48.5. One bet that I did make in this game, which I took last week, which cost me a parlay. But understand this, buying low and staying true to your numbers. DeAndre Hopkins, over 2.5 catches at a +110 price. He damn near hits that every single game this season, except for the last two games where he really hasn't been involved. Saw the press conference from him out there. I'm 100% healthy. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. This is a game where I expect Kansas City just can't play in a shell. Like you've seen them last week against Houston, who doesn't have a very good offense, who has a very good defense, and you played it close to the vest, and you won that football game. You can't do that against the Buffalo Bills. Veteran wide receivers will be important. They will spread that football around, and I'm assured that DeAndre Hopkins is going to have a comeback in this game, which a comeback game means three catches at plus money. Crazy. Definitely going with that. I don't care if he didn't even have a damn catch last week. I can't pass that up, and I won't do that. But also understand this, as I explained it this morning on the early line and quite frankly throughout this week. I'm cheering for the Buffalo Bills. I think it's a great story. I love that fan base. They deserve better than what they've been getting. They haven't been able to get to the pinnacle, which means get back to the Super Bowl since the early 1990s. And when they did that, guys, they lost four straight Super Bowls. Every one of those Super Bowls to an NFC East team, which no matter who wins at the link on Sunday, will be an NFC East team. Maybe they want the Eagles because the Redskins back in the day, as they were called, the Dallas Cowboys and the New York Giants just pulverized the Buffalo Bills. So maybe they want something else that they can actually look at as opposed to Washington, which had already beaten them in a Super Bowl. But anybody, honestly, get at me. Show me tickets at RightsideVP on Twitter. Where's your money at in this game? Because I just told you I'm rooting for the Buffalo Bills. But in the same breath, I'm telling you right now, there's no way I'm betting the Buffalo Bills against the Kansas City Chiefs. Went 15-2 in the regular season this year. Just picked up a playoff win. In games that Patrick Mahomes has played this year, if he started, their one loss was to the Buffalo Bills, but it was on the road. That feels great for the Bills. They got that ammunition saying that we already beat you this year. We could do it again. Yeah, it's going to be a different place. We played them in Orchard Park. Now we got to go on the road, and it's all right. Kansas City, which is a tough place to play. But look at every one of those playoff games that they played. One thing in common, the Kansas City Chiefs just win. You look at that spread, it's 1.5. You just have to win that football game. I can't bet the Buffalo Bills in that spot. I love Josh Allen. I think James Cook is wonderful at running back. His best season so far. You finally have a running mate there with Josh Allen in the backfield. I like both of their tight ends here. I like the big playability that Josh Allen can give you at any moment. But you know what I don't like? They're playing Kansas City, in Kansas City, healthy Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid's the coach, and this might be the best Steve Spagnuolo defense that we've seen since he's been in Kansas City. That's a recipe for success. But understand this. I also agree with that 47.5 going to 48. But Donnie just told me, one of the best defenses that you have in Kansas City. Look at that offense for the Buffalo Bills and how they've been a wrecking ball over the final three quarters of the season, which they have been. Absolutely fantastic. They're going to push the envelope. They will score points. They're too talented not to. Can Kansas City slow them down? Sure they can. They've been that good on defense. Pro Football Focus has them rated as the number two defense in the NFL. But this brings opportunity for the Kansas City Chiefs offense. And if you're a backer of prop bets, whether it's a plethora of wide receivers or Patrick Mahomes himself, I'll tell you the one area that I'm staying away from in this game after the commercial break, but I do think you get some great, great value at the wide receiver position. It's Boyd DRS. It's a Football Friday right here on The Grid. I'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Line them up, knock them down. I told you, one of the angles in the Bills-Chiefs game I'm not really thinking about approaching is the running back position. When I look at some of the props, and again, just from the FanDuel Sportsbook here, rushing props from a quarterback perspective, maybe so, yes. But from a running back spot, no. James Cook, 55.5. Do I think he can get over that? Yes, I do. Mixon had some pretty decent day on the ground last week. But look at Isaiah Pacheco, 32.5. You told me before the season, okay, by the way, Chiefs going to the playoffs, you're going to play the Buffalo Bills in the AFC Championship game, and Isaiah Pacheco's a 32.5. Just goes to show you how poorly of a season he's had, mainly because he's been injured. Kareem Hunt, 35.5. Ray Davis, 9.5. Maybe just scream down that he's going to get two or three carries and you'll deal with that. But I don't really feel like attacking that market. Too many quote-unquote cooks in the kitchen, right? Hey, it could be Kareem Hunt's day. Do I think if I had to pick one running back on Kansas City, it's probably Kareem Hunt at 35.5. And then, of course, you're not going to pick probably Ray Davis at 10 yards. You're just going to go James Cook to get most of it. But figuring Josh Allen is going to handle that business. But as I said, the wide receiver position, as we talked about in the early line today, is so interesting to me in this game. Because you're looking at a lot of, you know, two quarterbacks with decent passing props. Patrick Mahomes around that 250 range. Then I think Josh Allen coming in at 235-ish range. Leading pass catcher expected to be Travis Kelce for the Chiefs, and rightfully so, 67.5 yards. Worthy at 49.5, then it tumbles. Marquise Brown, 36.5. Noah Gray, 14.5. DeAndre Hopkins, 24.5. Pass catchers out of the backfield, Pacheco and Hunt, 5.5 and 7.5, respectively. But the Buffalo Bills side is interesting. Khalil Shakir, you probably figure, is going to get the majority of the targets. And rightfully so. He's their best wideout, slot player, can make the big plays. But look at these other prop bets for Buffalo. And again, game script for me. I have Kansas City winning. As I predicted on the early line, 27-24 Kansas City. Right around the total number, right around the line, close football game, Chiefs get the edge. Look at some of these numbers. Dalton Kincaid, athletic young tight end, 32.5. Amari Cooper, who was supposed to be that number one veteran wide out in the room, he's 17.5. Keon Coleman, 20.5. Dawson Knox, vet tight end, 15.5. Curtis Samuel, 15.5. Matt Collins, 13.5. Ty Johnson, a third down running back, 8.5. James Cook, 12.5. Look at the value on the Buffalo Bills. Now, if you think the Buffalo Bills win, you actually think that the Bills scored 17 points and beat the Chiefs 17-14? That doesn't feel like it for me. Like, if the Buffalo Bills win, their team total is around that 23.5 range. They're going to have to get over that, which means you're looking at close to four total touchdowns for the Buffalo Bills, and you're telling me it's going to be all in the legs of James Cook, which again, he's only factoring 55 and a half. It's not like Saquon Barkley at a buck 25 and a half. And Josh Allen, let's call it 50 yards. So who are those backup wide receiving options that you're looking to get after for the Buffalo Bills? That's what I'm going to have to try to decide here on a Friday afternoon into Saturday, and certainly on the set on Sunday morning. Is it just so simple, Donnie? Don't overthink yourself. If the Chiefs are going to be successful in this football game, there's no way Travis Kelce can catch, let's just say, 60 yards of balls or less. Or Xavier Worthy at 49 and a half. But from that Bills number, I just feel like there are ways that we can exploit. We just have to find that right number. Because also, you take a book out of the Joe Lisi playbook. Like if you like Keon Coleman at 20 and a half, you bump him to 30. You bump him up to 35, bump him up to 40 yards. Get double the price back where it's not that big of a deal. How many times have you bet? And again, I understand. I've taken bets that are 12 and a half and the guy's gotten 13 yards. 11 and a half, the guy's gotten 12 yards and you cash it in. But how many times you sit out there, like last week I hit a parlay, like the Monday night college football championship game, Ohio State. One of the legs of my parlay was Crenshaw Judkins to get 20 yards. He went over 100 yards. Now, I was never going to bet him to get 60, 80, 90, 100 plus yards. But you usually see, like when you hit that player, it's usually by a wide margin. So if you were just thinking like on your feet, like, okay, Keon Coleman to get 25 plus yards, that's plus money. Dalton Kincaid to get 40 yards receiving, that's plus money. Khalil Shakir to get 65 yards receiving, that's plus money. There's a lot of angles that I want to play, but primarily, as I said, four wagers with tickets in the door that I posted at RightsideVP on Twitter. DeAndre Hopkins over 2.5 catches for the Chiefs at plus 110. Jalen Hurts over 179.5 passing yards on FanDuel at minus 114. A.J. Brown over 4.5 catches at a plus 100 number on FanDuel. And Jalen Hurts over 4.5 rushing yards in the first quarter at minus 125 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm going to add a lot more wagers. We got a lot of fun to do it this weekend. Moneyline has been fantastic all week. Catch us on set with Pro Football Today on Sunday. I'm Donnie Wrightside for JP behind the wheels of steel. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.